Floating death ships. The story behind the living beings pulled out of our Earth's oceans is just as tragic, though in a different way. The world's marine ecosystems are being ruthlessly plundered. Long gone are the days when the first Europeans arrived on North American shores and wrote how the schools of fish were so vast and thick that they thought their ships would run aground on them before they reached the land. These once fecund waters have been and continue to be strip mined for fish, using fishing trawlers with nets many thousands of feet in length to meet the relentless demand of humans, fish farms, and enslaved food animals. An amazing 50% of the world fish catch is fed to the needlessly imprisoned food animals and not to people. All the 17 major global fisheries are depleted or in serious decline. In most parts of the world, because of overfishing and nearshore water pollution, it is no longer possible to run profitable fishing operations close to shore. As boats go farther out, they stay out longer. When fish are hauled into the boats, they are dumped in tanks in the hull where they slowly die, defecating and crushing the fish beneath them. This often goes on for many days, the dead and dying fish piled atop each other with open wounds, workers pouring antibiotics into the fecal soup to keep infection in check. Seafood is the leading cause of food poisoning in the United States. There is virtually no government inspection of seafood before it is sold to markets and the public, and recent studies by Consumer Reports showed that over 25% of the fish they examined for sale were, quote, on the brink of spoilage, end quote. Over half the grocery store samples of red snapper were actually other species, and half the swordfish samples exceeded the FDA's action level for nerve-damaging methylmercury. E. coli, histamine, and other dangerous substances were also detected. The carnage caused by modern factory fishing methods is horrific. Huge trawlers using satellite and radar technology and even helicopters and airplanes deploy nets that reach to the ocean floor and bring up virtually everything in their path. The fish are often pulled rapidly from such depths that they suffer decompression. Their internal organs may burst and their eyes pop out as they die an excruciating death through suffocation, crushing, or evisceration. In the course of this marine strip mining, an enormous number of sea creatures that are, quote, unprofitable are hauled in. This so-called bycatch of certain fish, turtles, dolphins, seabirds, and other animals is thrown back into the ocean, mostly dead or severely wounded. Every year, this adds up to about 25 million tons of dead and dying sea animals, roughly a third of the total that's dragged in. A recent Duke University study, for example, found that over 300,000 sea turtles are killed annually just by commercial long-line fishing operations. According to Environmental Defense, quote, bycatch can include juvenile commercial fish, sea turtles, whales, seabirds, dolphins, and any other sea creature that's not commercially desirable. Shrimp trawling throws away an average of 5 pounds of bycatch for every pound of shrimp caught, including up to 150,000 endangered sea turtles every year. Methods of capture that can result in high bycatch are gill nets, purse seines, and bottom trawling. End quote. Paul Watson, founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, describes the consequences of today's fishing methods. Quote, the trawlers literally leave no stone unturned. Bottom draggers plow the benthonic depths, taking groundfish, mollusks, crustaceans, and damaging vegetation and structure. Midwater draggers stalk those fish that dwell between the bottom and the surface. Surface trawlers maul the upper reaches of the seas. Those species of the depths that do survive the tri-level assaults must then run the gauntlet of longliner fleets, gill netters, purse seine netters, and crab and lobster pots. The very foundation of the food chain is being shattered as large Japanese small mesh plankton trawlers haul in krill by the hundreds of millions of tons. The krill, shrimp-like zooplankton, are then converted into a protein base to use as animal feed. The more krill exploited means less food available for fish and whales. The global carnage inflicted on the world's fish species ranges from the horrendous waste and slaughter of the huge floating factory operations to the cumulative damage caused by millions of people fishing with rods, small nets, and traps, and combing the shorelines for crabs and shellfish. End quote. Entire species of fish are being killed to the verge of extinction to satisfy the demand for fish meal for fattening livestock or factory-farmed fish, or for seafood for humans. According to Watson, quote, "The rationalization for fish meal production defies all logic. As animal food, about 100 pounds live weight of fish is required to produce 1 pound of beef. 200 pounds of fish meal used as fertilizer produces no more than 3 pounds of vegetable protein. Even more ironic is that over 50 pounds of fish meal is needed to raise one farm-raised salmon." End quote. Many other species of marine creatures suffer directly from our unnatural demand for fish flesh. Sea lions, seals, whales, dolphins, and seabirds suffer and often starve because their source of food has been destroyed by human fishing activity. The number of Steller's sea lions in the Bering Sea, for example, is less than 20% of what it was in the 1950s. Besides stealing their food supply, fishers or their agents kill many of these creatures because they are seen as competition for the ever-decreasing number of fish in the overfished ocean waters. The Canadian Department of Fisheries subsidizes the yearly spring slaughter of seal pups on the ice floes of eastern Canada. The brutal and bloody bludgeoning and shooting to death each year of over 300,000 helpless baby seals by local fishermen. In recent years, the government has actually raised the limit on the number of seals that can be killed. The Newfoundland Minister of Fisheries has proclaimed his hope that the seals will be completely eliminated because he believes they threaten Canada's fishing industry. Biologists who have studied the situation report that the main threat to the fishing industry is its own rapacity, not the seals. There aren't enough young fish surviving the fishing nets to replenish the stocks. Iceland candidly justifies its killing of whales as a necessary step to protect its commercial fishing industry. Cormorants and other water birds are hunted, trapped, and killed by both government agencies and private industries because of their perceived competition with fishers and the fishing industry. At least 20,000 dolphins are killed each year by the tuna industry. Because dolphins tend to swim above schools of tuna, fishing operations use them to find tuna, and dolphins inevitably end up drowning in the nets. There is no oversight on many tuna fishing operations, and Galapagos National Park personnel, for example, caught a tuna seiner with its net deployed within park boundaries on March 3, 2002, with over 50 dead and dying dolphins and just 8 tuna. Virtually no punishment was imposed. Sharks are now being killed by the tens of thousands simply for their fins. They are hauled in, their fins chopped off, and their bodies thrown back into the water to die slow, agonizing deaths. Sometimes their spines are also slit to remove the cartilage that is sold in health food stores as a cancer remedy. This has been shown to have little effect other than as a placebo, but still the sharks die for it. Some species, such as swordfish and grouper, are approaching extinction in the wild, as are most sea turtle species, drowned in the nets used by commercial shrimp trawlers. In addition to all this commercial fishing, which has destroyed 90% of the ocean's large fish, such as tuna and swordfish, there is the toll taken by recreational and sport fishermen on both freshwater and saltwater fish. Recent research shows that anglers kill a far larger percentage of threatened species than previously thought. causing, for example, over 25% of the deaths of overfished saltwater species. Whether they kill the fish to eat or throw them back, the fish suffer intensely. The whole intent of sport fishing is, as Barry McKay points out, quote, to engage in a battle between the fisher and the fish, a battle never asked for by or in the interest of the fish, end quote. Studies have shown that fish who are hooked and thrown back are so traumatized that many die from the experience. The pain of being hooked in the mouth is excruciating. Thomas Hopkins, professor of marine science at the University of Alabama, has compared it to, quote, dentistry without Novocaine, drilling into exposed nerves. This pain is compounded by being pulled and, quote, played on the line, which for the fish is an agonizing struggle leading to utter exhaustion. Being handled by the fisher damages the protective mucus layer on the fish's scales. Then, after inflicting more trauma removing the hook, the fisher tosses the wounded fish back to, quote, fight another day. The estimates of catch and release fish mortality vary depending on a variety of factors, including the species and age of the fish, the depth at which they're caught, how severely they're hooked, and how much they're handled, and how exhausted they are by their life and death struggle. In a study of coho salmon, 20 to 30% died from the ordeal. In other studies, the percentages of catch-and-release fish that die shortly after being returned to the water are between 5 and 10%, with others it's 50%, and even up to 100%. Besides the suffering of the fish, there is also the extreme cruelty to creatures used as bait in fishing, as Joan Dunier explains. Quote, animals used as live bait range from shrimps, lizards, worms, and frogs to mackerels, salmons, crickets, and crabs. Bait fish are hooked so that they won't die quickly through their lips, their nose, their eye sockets. If large, they may be impaled on two or three hooks. Sometimes, to reduce drag, fishers sew a fish's mouth shut before towing them as bait. Because a fish who struggles and bleeds is especially likely to attract predators, fishers often break a bait fish's back, cut their fins, or notch them with multiple razor slits. End quote. The scope of suffering caused by the demand for the flesh of sea creatures is vast, almost incomprehensible. Whereas records are kept of the number of individual birds and mammals killed each year for food, in the U.S. that number is now over 10 billion annually. For seafood, only the tonnage is reported. 80 million tons of water creatures per year. How many individuals is that? Every individual fish is a vertebrate with a central nervous system and pain proprioceptors like we mammals have. Marine biologists have proven that fish definitely do feel and avoid pain, and that they learn to evade painful stimuli, even to the degree of selecting the option of food deprivation over pain. Researchers have also proven what is really quite obvious, that fish can be fearful and learn to anticipate pain. Besides this, scientists have discovered that fish and also sea-dwelling invertebrates, quote, generate opiate-like pain-dampening biochemicals, enkephalins and endorphins, in response to injuries that would unquestionably be painful to humans, as further proof of the ability of fish to feel pain. End quote. Like us, they would not survive if they didn't feel pain. Their pain sensors are especially dense around their mouths, where they are often cruelly hooked and pulled. In addition to feeling pain, scientists have discovered that fish are far more intelligent than had been presumed. For example, British experts say that fish, as the most ancient of the major vertebrate groups, have had, quote, ample time, end quote, to evolve complex and diverse behavior patterns that rival those of many other vertebrates. They report that there have been huge changes in science's understanding of the psychological and mental abilities of fish in the last few years, adding, quote, Although it may seem extraordinary to those comfortably used to prejudging animal intelligence on the basis of brain volume, in some cognitive domains, fishes can even be favorably compared to non-human primates, end quote. Recent research has shown that fish are, quote, steeped in social intelligence, recognizing individual shoal mates and social prestige, and scientists have observed them using tools, building complex nests, cooperating, and exhibiting stable cultural traditions and long-term memories. Sylvia Earle, former chief scientist of the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has written, quote, "Fish are our fellow citizens with scales and fins. I would never eat anyone I know personally. I wouldn't deliberately eat a grouper any more than I'd eat a cocker spaniel. They're so good-natured, so curious. You know, fish are sensitive, they have personalities, they hurt when they're wounded," end quote. Fish are sensitive and intelligent creatures, and their flesh, filled with pain, fear, and toxins, is obviously unhealthy for us to eat, yet we persist. Pursuing, confining, slaughtering, and eating them as mere objects to be consumed, we inevitably deaden ourselves spiritually and emotionally as well. Paul Watson has noted, quote, "Seafood is simply a socially acceptable form of bush meat. We condemn Africans for hunting monkeys and mammalian and bird species from the jungle, yet the developed world thinks nothing of hauling in magnificent wild creatures like swordfish, tuna, halibuts, shark, and salmon for our meals. The fact is that the global slaughter of marine wildlife is simply the largest massacre of wildlife on the planet." End quote. Chefs know that fish who die with great resistance, struggling against the net or the hook and line, have a more bitter taste because of the lactic acid that remains in their muscles. In eating fish, we eat the lactic acid the fish produce in their death throes, and the fear-induced adrenaline and other hormones. It should be amply clear that in unwisely eating fish because of an imagined benefit, we bring into our body a host of toxins and cause suffering and negative effects that far outweigh their potential benefit. We can all get ample, high-quality protein from plant sources without causing unnecessary misery and trauma to other living creatures. Finally, in exterminating the fish from our waters, we are destroying the Earth's system for cleaning the waters. It is well known that fish clean the waters of toxins and impurities. They can be seen as the Earth's kidneys, absorbing contaminants into their flesh. This is a natural function and an important reason why it is so damaging to the health of the Earth that we are drastically reducing their numbers and to our individual health to actually eat them. It is common, for example, to see fish congregated around the sewer pipes that dump untreated sewage into the ocean in countries that still allow this. The fish eat the human feces as it emerges from these pipes. As fecal eaters and flesh eaters, fish are completely inappropriate for human food, unclean in every way imaginable. In violently entering their world, imprisoning, manipulating, and killing them, and harming seabirds and marine mammals with them, we are committing crimes against nature on a gigantic scale. It shows our disrespect for life and the benevolent source of all life, which has blessed us with bodies that require not one fish, dolphin, turtle, albatross, lobster, shrimp, or crab to suffer and die for their feeding.